Liam, do you like free shit?
Yeah.
Do you like gay people? Mm. All right. Well, you should enter our giveaway.
Woo! That's right, everyone. We have a giveaway for the month of Pride. We're going to be giving away some really awesome stuff. What are they going to be getting, Chase?
So for our giveaway, we have teamed up with independent queer creators because the corporations have enough fucking money.
Yes.
And we are giving away 200 smackaroonies worth of stuff.
Yeah, $200.
We are giving away one handmade knit market bag by Tiff Knits.
We've also got a gorgeous inclusive pride candle from Edith and Herbert.
Two custom enamel pins by Matt Hans, a local Vancouver artist.
As well as a digital portrait from Iconic Designs.
And then finally, because we can't get enough of ourselves, we are giving away one pack of 5 custom 2 servings of fruit stickers.
Yes, by Ally Modded by Maya.
Yes, Modded by Maya. She's not queer, but she's an ally. So to enter, we will have obviously the link in this description. All you have to do is enter your email and boom, you're in.
Boom. It's that easy.
And while you're there, you can follow the queer creators that we've teamed up with for extra points and extra entries.
As well, you can go check out some of their awesome work. Go support your local queer independent artists and us.
And of course us.
The winners will be announced by the end of the month.
So now, our episode. Welcome to episode 20 of 2 Servings of Fruit. I'm Chase.
We should have done this as a 420 fucking episode, bro.
I'm Chase.
I'm Liam.
Today,
we're talking about body positivity with Lord Troy.
Wow. We really just went in there.
Yeah.
With it all.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Issue?
No,
issue?
I thought that problem? Was good.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, we have a guest today, Lord Troy. He's a musician, Instagram influencer. He's formerly known as a bear named Troy, but he's rebranded.
Yes.
And he's here with us later to talk about body positivity.
Yeah, but before we get into that, I really, 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 really want to do my weird shit of the week. Like, I have to. Like, it's not, like, it's literally, it's hurting me not.
I'm excited.
Yeah, you're actually going to lose it.
Cue the jingle.
Cue jingle!
Weird, it's the weirdest shit that you've ever seen this week. Yeah, welcome to weird shit of the week. The week, the week, week, week.
Okay, you can do yours first.
Me first?
Yeah, do yours first so the anticipation builds.
So, mine is, I feel like Liam has told me that his is a callback to a previous weird shit.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is, but I feel like mine is sort of a callback as well, but not so explicitly. I don't know if Liam's is yours super explicitly.
Yes.
Okay. Mine is not quite a callback, but it kind of is because the headline is on Fox News, "Plague of Ravenous Destructive Mice Tormenting Australians."
Jesus.
And I think that's a callback.
That's just a fucking bullying attack on me, personally.
Well, it's a callback because we talked about the feral cats as rat control. And that's the
and now loose Australia that's
come through.
Australia just has a fucking mice plague?
Well, I think if Australia listened to our episode, they wouldn't have a mice plague.
Frankly.
So anyways, at night, I want you to listen to this.
Ew,
really geez. Closely.
You're going to describe some horrific fucking
I'm
rat
I'm not describing
detail.
Anything. I'm just reading the article.
A.K.A.
Liam hates rats. Anyways, Bogan Gate, Australia. What at the night, fuck? The floors of sheds vanished beneath carpets of scampering mice.
Oh my God, Chase.
Ceilings come alive with the sounds of scratching.
Oh my God. I hate Australia.
One family blamed mice chewing electrical wires for their house burning down. Vast tracts of land in Australia's New South Wales state are being threatened by a mouse plague that is absolutely unprecedented. Just how many millions of rodents have infested the agricultural plains across the state is guesswork.
Okay, I'm not kidding when I say this. I think Australia is partly a portal to hell.
Yeah, all the shit that they have.
The fucking spider. Like, have you seen those pictures? And it's like, oh, it's spider season in Australia. And it looks like they fucking had snow because the whole areas are covered in webs. Like, sorry. Or like, just the fact that Australia was literally completely burning like 2 years ago.
Yeah, literally.
Like, just completely on fire.
Yeah.
Now they have a rat plague. Like, was that not in the Bible? I'm pretty sure it was.
And they have snakes. They just have all sorts of.
It's also like just a big island that was like used to dump prisoners at. Like Australia.
Was it really?
Yes, that's like the history. Is like the British Empire just fucking brought prisoners there.
Holy shit.
Uses a giant prison.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they have those big, I don't, this might be New Zealand, but they have those big lizards that spit venom. What are those called?
I have no fucking idea, but I don't want to know. All I know is, yeah, if you're from Australia, I'm sorry. I'm deeply sorry.
I just had to use that weird shit, one, because we talked about feral cats as rat control. Two, I will never skip a chance to torment Liam with the mention of rice.
Rice! I hate rice
I was about to say rice and modens, but I meant I meant mice and rodents.
Yeah, you're fucked up.
Anyways, so what was your weird shit?
This is really exciting. Okay, so listeners of the pod might remember one weird shit where a woman was found in a storm drain in Florida.
Okay.
Woman found naked in Florida storm drain is rescued again.
Again.
She was found in a storm drain again. This was like a couple months ago.
This was one of our first weird shit.
So 2 months after the Florida incident, Lindsay Kennedy is found in Texas tunnels this time.
Oh, and more tunnels.
She was found in a like literally it's the same story with the same woman again in Texas. Literally. And she was missing for 3 weeks in Florida, and now she found herself in another underground tunnel system in Texas.
I'm sorry, is she going in intentionally? She must be.
She literally must be. Like, you can't get lost in the...
And these are sewage tunnels, I remember.
Yes!
You don't just accidentally fall into a sewage tunnel twice.
No. Literally, no. And one of the things that was really awesome about this article, as a precaution, her loved ones dropped bags of food and Gatorade in nearby manholes. In an effort to sustain her, because they just assumed she went back into the tunnels.
So this must be, like, intentional behavior.
Yeah.
And why is she naked?
I don't know. But in March, she was pulled out, and now it's June, and she was just pulled out again. So.
What the fuck, Lindsay?
Lindsay. And she's 43. Lindsay. Come on.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Is she okay?
I think she's okay. She said she's been checked into a rehabilitation facility in Texas.
No, like mentally, is she okay?
I think that's where they brought her to like a place now.
Oh.
Either way, she went, how do you go, like the first time I was like, okay, this woman, maybe she got lost while swimming, but
yeah.
For weeks and you're in there and you're out and about and like, why are you swimming near sewage tunnels anyways? This time, yeah. She just really liked it, I guess.
Yeah. What did she like about it? The sludge? The scent? Like, what? So, I think the lesson is, everyone, when you walk past a manhole, just drop a snack in there, just in case.
Just in case Lindsay's in there.
Just in case Lindsay's there.
Lindsay Kennedy, she should get a dedication on the pod.
We should have her on the pod.
Yes! Oh my god, I'd die! Lindsay, how you doing?
Wow.
Literally.
I was not expecting it to be a callback to that.
Uh-huh.
Shit.
Told you.
Holy fuck.
That's pretty intense. Anyways.
Well, that was weird shit of the week. I don't even know how to absorb that.
You gotta sit with it for a while.
Yeah.
Take it with you today, guys. Take it with you today.
Yeah, for real.
Honestly, all the best to Lindsay.
Amen.
Amen. Anyways, on to our show.
Today we are talking about body positivity, as we've mentioned, and I don't know what to say.
I had an intense point to make, but I want to get to that in a bit. Because I think first we should talk about just how would you define body positivity?
I think body positivity is loving your body for what it does for you, I think. Like, not worrying so much about what, like, media says your body should look like superficially, but just, like, loving your body as this vessel that keeps you alive and healthy and moving around the world.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a big part of it. And in the same vein, I think it is deeply connected to the, like, hypersexualization of bodies in just, like, everyday life. So, I think part of that whole, idea of body positivity is just to, like, desexualize your body to strangers, you know what I mean? Or to yourself, even. As not something that is just for superficial looks, but, like you said, like, as a actual purposeful device.
Yeah. You know Naked Attraction.
Yeah,
my
favorite show. Jesus Christ.
That show is inherently sexual because it's people picking a date based on naked bodies. But I feel like personally, and I was just watching it the other day, it's made me in my mind desexualize bodies and like not see bodies so like I used to be that gay that would be like, ah, vagina. You know what I mean? Like now I'm like, okay, it's just a vagina, you know? It's really just made bodies, like, not, like, I can just look at a naked body and just not be appalled or shocked. I think it's a good thing. And I don't think it's why the show exists. I don't think that's what they were trying to do. I just think that's the effect
you
it's had.
Loving and just always supporting that fucking
naked attraction
show.
Look it up, everyone.
Sorry, but that is just the weirdest fucking
not
show.
Safe for work. Not safe for work at all. Not safe for work.
Naked attraction.
They show it all.
Them squatting in that, like, sorry.
Oh my god, so funny. I love that show. Ridiculous. So amazing.
I think a big part of body positivity is just that, like I said, desexualization. I also think it's a big movement around just being accepting of just different shapes in general.
Yeah, well, I mean, body positivity obviously is about every body type. I will say I feel like larger body types not necessarily need it more, but like socially, I think that's the bodies that get the most hate.
Yeah. I think when we think of like a hierarchy of bodies in like the way that you could probably look at like inequality between sexes or between like within the queer community or like within people of color, I think, like larger people definitely are on like the bottom of that pyramid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is like an important point. And I also think like this type of inequality in particular this was the point I wrote down earlier, is just that it's deeply, deeply rooted in capitalism. Because I think when it comes to like other inequalities, there are like social and political aspects of it that you don't necessarily have as like the origin for this like really negative vitriol for like big people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that largely comes from just like the products we sell and who we target, and like that created that system.
I mean, why do stores like Brandy Melville still exist?
Honestly.
Why? Like I thought, oh fuck, what's her name on TikTok? But she's big about body positivity, and she always says like she tries on clothes from brands that label it as like plus size or whatever, or like she tries on their extra large, and they're literally fucking tiny clothing, and she'll try on Brandy Melville, which is one size fits all, and she's like, why the fuck does that store still exist?
It's literally just used to like make people like, it's almost like a pseudo elitist kind of way of doing it, like they're like, if you can fit in Brandy Melville, it like says something about you.
Yeah, but you know what I saw too,
like signaling,
apparently Brandy Melville has started putting like sizes on their clothing, like small, medium, large, but they're all the same size still. It's all one size fits all. I think it's just to like deter being called out for being fucked up.
Literally, like, which is so weird to me, because it's like you could arguably do much better as a brand if you expanded.
Literally, why do they only want to cater to small women?
That's the thing, is it's like I said, I think it I don't know, it must just make this sort of like self-fulfilling, like, oh, we're cool.
Fuck even wears Brandy Melville?
I don't know.
I don't know anyone who shops at Brandy Melville. So fuck off. Brandy.
Yeah, is that a real person, Brandy Melville?
I don't know, but she can fuck off. But I think the hierarchy is an important point, because I think that I've seen a lot of talk about skinny shaming versus fat shaming. And
yeah, it's
I don't want to negate like the fact that no body should be shamed for how they look. However, I don't think skinny shaming is the same as fat shaming.
For sure. 100%.
Yeah, and it's just because thin people are the societal norm. It's what everyone's expected to be. So it's like, if you navigate your life as a thin person, you're far more privileged than a big person. It's the same thing as conversations about race and conversations about sexuality and stuff like that. You know what I mean? There's always someone who is in power.
Yeah, and I think when it comes to bodies in general, as like a lens through which you can like view that hierarchy, they are particularly shifting in like dominance. Whereas like other social political inequalities are more fixed. Like white supremacy is historical. Like it is so far reaching.
Yeah.
But, you know, bodies, like even when you look in the past like 50 years, there's like always, it shifts very quickly and like very on a dime. And I think right now you see this like, you know, tiny waist, huge ass, huge boobs, and just like super, super skinny, but also mega mommy milkers. You know what I mean?
Mega mommy milkers. Oh my God.
Mega mommy milkers.
Ah, totally.
And like that was not the case in like the 90s when it was like that heroin chic, like so thin, you look like you were gonna die.
Like the supermodel thin stereotype. Yeah, exactly.
So I think that is also particularly dangerous just because of how quickly that changes, like especially when it comes to women. I think this is largely focused at women as well. But it's very dangerous. I think just to have such unhealthy and unrealistic expectations for young women, and then also to have those expectations shift in so many different directions so quickly is like even more damaging.
Do you think it's a brand's responsibility to have a plus size option?
I think it's smart business, first and foremost. I mean,
smart. Yeah, I think it's smart from a business perspective, but like morally, do you think it's an obligation?
It depends on like the size of the brand. I think this also comes down to like morally, what is your responsibility as a citizen to speak up about certain issues? And mm-hmm. I think that obviously grows the larger your platform is, but at the same time, it also kind of depends on like, I don't think it's also responsible for like celebrities to be speaking on issues they don't know anything about, because then they could just be spreading worse information or giving more bad takes. So I think insofar as a brand is occupying the space that would make up like what could be considered body positivity, that increases the responsibility or duty to do something. So like, yeah. I don't think Crest toothpaste needs to have like a commercial where they have like,
no,
you know what I mean? But like,
for clothing.
Yeah.
Clothing is just like a very exclusive category, I think,
yeah,
when it comes to sizing, especially.
Well, clothing is literally just all about the body. So yeah.
Yeah.
I think in that way, yeah, those kinds of brands for sure. When it, yeah. Like shoes, maybe not.
I think shoes need to be a little bit wider sometimes. like Jesus.
I have wide feet.
Wide feet, and sometimes it hurts. My kinkles got in the way. Just kidding. I'm not hating on my body today.
That isn't even part of your foot. That's part of your ankle. That doesn't count.
It's the lack of an ankle. It's
just telling me what a kinkle is.
The calf going straight into the ankle. I can stand up and show you if you'd like to see an example. Just kidding. I'm not hating on my body today.
Well, I guess for like pregnant women with swollen ankles, like they can't wear certain shoes.
Speaking of hating my body, I always have. What a segue. I was always the chubby kid. Always. And my three siblings were all skinny and could eat whatever they wanted, and just stayed skinny. And we all played the same sports. Mm-hmm. I played the sports.
The sports.
And I resent them all, and I hope they're listening to this.
Yeah, I think that's like the worst part of the entire culture is that like so many people do just, and even people like, I think everybody is insecure about their body,
yeah,
because it's such like a, like I said, toxic, capitalistic like way of thinking about the body.
Yeah, and like body dysmorphia is, I know so many people that have body dysmorphia.
I don't know anyone who doesn't.
Yeah, literally. And it's crazy. It really puts it in perspective, because I'll insult myself, as most of us do, and then someone will say like, oh no, you look great, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And then I just think they're lying to me to make me feel better. But then if someone says to me that something about themselves is negative, I don't see it. Like, I think they're fucking crazy.
Yeah,
that's literally. Like,
I think as an entire planet, we all just need to have a group therapy sesh, guys.
Come literally.
On. Let's all just get together one Tuesday. Everyone quarantine for an hour.
I don't know if Tuesday would be the best day for everyone.
What do you think would be?
Like a Saturday?
Probably a Sunday, actually.
Yeah.
Day of worship. Yeah, but we honestly, yeah, I think everybody feels that way. And I think we just need to treat ourselves the way we treat other people.
Well, I think that's
good. As long as you treat other people well, if you're a huge fucking dick, maybe not.
I think that's why it's good to talk about it, especially with other people, because everyone goes through it. And I think that can really help people.
Yeah, it's weird when you see like celebrities be like, oh, I really don't like my body.
Yeah, like Khloe Kardashian, the bikini pic. I was like, what? Or like what?
Kim Kardashian even. She's like, oh, I really dislike my huge ass.
I'm like, what?
Literally.
That picture of Khloe Kardashian in the bikini
For real.
I would murder puppies if for my body to look like that.
Do you think that is an issue? Like when
murdering puppies?
No. That's not a problem. Okay. No, like, do you think it's like an issue when you see like objectively nice bodies being like support, love your body, like let's all be body positive. Like, I am insecure too. I like our friend showed us this LinkedIn post of this girl and she's like, guys, it's not about like what's not about the picture. Like, I have a chipped nail and like I have my scar on my knee showing.
Yeah,
like, well, I don't. You gotta love yourself. And she's like in this literally perfectly staged photo, and you're like, sorry, but what the actual flying fuck here? Well,
I definitely do, but again, I don't want to like take away from people feeling insecure about certain things. Like, everyone's insecure about something. However, it does not make me feel, if I'm feeling bad about my body that day, mm-hmm. it does not make me feel better to see someone who is like socially and objectively attractive mm-hmm. tell me to love myself.
Yeah.
That does not mean anything to me.
It's almost like a...
Whereas on the flip side, when you see people who are still beautiful, mm-hmm. but socially wouldn't be the standard, mm-hmm. like Lizzo, like Lord Troy, who go on their pages and embrace their bodies and kind of lead by example when it comes to loving yourself, that makes me feel better. Like, that makes me feel like, okay, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, that's inspiring.
Yeah,
that's a true. Bodybuilder saying, hey guys, love yourself. Love your body.
Right?
Okay, I would love my body if it looked like yours, which is so bad that that's our mindset.
Yeah, I know. It is so bad. It's so ingrained in so many different ways, too. Like I said, I think part of that is just comes down to the market of it all. Like, even, like, diet culture is so huge.
Yeah, diet culture is a whole mess.
Yeah.
A whole mess.
And it's, like, it keeps kind of, like, shifting. I think this is something Lord Troy brought up, too, is that it just kind of, like, wiggles itself into this whole discussion of body positivity, as well as, like, oh, it's not about dieting. It's about, like, lifestyle choices. And about, like...
Yeah.
And about, like, loving your body, but doing, like, just making better, doing better, whatever, you know what I mean? As if, like, there is... some sort of goal there. Mm-hmm. I do think, it's important to eat healthy and just be healthy in general, of course. But I think that often gets conflated with staying thin or, like, restricting yourself.
And looking, objectively good. Whatever mm-hmm. good is supposed to mean.
Right?
Like, yeah, take good care of your body so that the insides of your body are healthy. You know what I mean? It's not supposed to be this superficial thing. Like, eat your vegetables so you can be the skinniest person this summer. You know what I mean? It's like, take care of your body so that you won't die at 50.
Yeah.
Like, literally. So it's just like the whole way it's marketed and targeted is really toxic.
Yeah. It's very layered.
I don't know the stats, but I'm sure it's led to the inflation of eating disorders.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. And it's, it's just... a whole mess, which is why I think it's good to have people on the internet who are combating that. Even
I think in all, I think not even just on the internet, like just in general, just be good to have.
Yeah, but the internet is like widespread. I mean, you know, like people can see that.
That's true.
When Lizzo's embracing her body, like that is important.
I just want to say on Lizzo, I knew Lizzo before she was famous. Not new, but like I listened to her before she was even famous.
So. Yeah.
Just a flex.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome, everyone.
You knew her personally?
I actually sucked her Big Mommy Milkers.
Big Mommy Milker. Yeah.
Sweet nectar.
Yeah, we'll get into this more with Lord Troy. I just hope that the world starts to move a little bit more in an inclusive
direction. You know what's going to push it that direction, though?
What?
Us doing this podcast. Here and now.
Whoa.
We are influential.
To who?
25 people, probably, at least.
That's like a classroom, and we are the teachers.
Literally. That's fucking deep.
Did you have anything else to say before we hand it off to our interview?
Lindsay Kennedy, stay well.
Stay well and stay out of the sewers, girl.
Stay out of the tunnels.
Literally, girl.
Yeah.
Formerly a bear named Troy, he has built his Instagram following by inspiring his followers to embrace their body.
Please welcome to the podcast, Lord Troy.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, we're so excited to have you on.
I'm excited to be on.
I just wanted to talk about, because I know that when you first kind of came up on Instagram, you were a bear named Troy. And then it was recently, I think July of last year, that you changed to Lord Troy. So I just kind of wanted to talk about your start on Instagram and why you made that switch.
So I was, you know, I'm a millennial, so I started with Instagram. So once Instagram began, I was eager to be on it. But, you know, I didn't really know how I wanted to use Instagram. I was just kind of going with the flow with everybody else. And then I came out of the closet when I was 21. So that was like 2012, end of 2012. And I think from that point, I was like, well, I'm trying to figure out who I am as a gay person, as a person, which I didn't know that I was like queer then. I just knew that I was gay. And so I think I didn't really know who I was, but I was trying to figure it out. And I was like, well, let's just start with social media. Let's just like start with like seeing where I, you know, what I can figure out myself through sharing online. So I started posting style photos. I think I just kind of looked at it like I had been stifled. I'd stifled myself, you know, my whole life of like loving fashion, loving style, never experimenting with it. And then finally, when I came out, I was like, all my secrets are gone. Like, I don't have to, I can be whoever I want to be. I don't have to hide or pretend. So I turned to fashion, which is my first, like, you know, sense of exploration as a gay person. And I posted on the internet and I was starting to get likes and reposts and people liked it. And then I was like, well, you know, where do I fit in like the sexual landscape of the gay community? And that's when I started learning about bears and cubs and like all those different things. Sorry, there's a fly trying to attack my microphone.
There's a fly in here too.
Yeah. Oh, we're connected. This is us being connected.
The same fly. It's probably the same.
Exact has to be the same fly. It's the Mike Pence fly, honestly.
Yeah.
So I was figuring out who I was sexually in the community as well. And that's where I learned about bear community, like cubs, twinks, the whole, all the different, like, you know, subcategories of the gay community. And so I started posting in my underwear, like just like body photos, just really celebrating my body, but not knowing yet that I was celebrating my body. I thought I was just going to get attention from other gay men who would be interested in someone like me because I was single and horny, obviously. And so but then from there, you know, I would get reposted and I would get shared. And then it was like a little bit into that where I was getting reposted and shared onto like body positivity accounts, which I had no idea what that was at that point. And so someone then said, oh, like, I love how body positive you are. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I'm just like really vibing with my body. And like, I don't know. I don't really know what that means. And so from there, I learned more about body positivity and self-love. And it just kind of grew from there. Like I was kind of growing in two different worlds on the internet. And finally, like, you know, brands started reaching out and wanting to work with me. So it all kind of grew from there. But it started with just wanting to be gay on the internet and show some photos and outfits and me and my underwear. And then to answer your question, why I changed from a bear named Troy to Lord Troy, I think I just reached a bit of a plateau with a bear named Troy. I think I was at this point where, you know, I started making music, and music is like my biggest passion ever. And I was always afraid to make music. This is a very long-winded answer for you, but I was very afraid to make music. So I kind of, because I've always wanted to, but I was afraid like, oh, I wasn't born like Beyonce. Like I don't have, you know, this angelic, like sent from heaven voice naturally. Like I would have to work at it. And I think because I didn't have that, I was worried I could never be a singer. So I thought, well, like it all kind of started because of a joke, which I can tell you about if you want to hear, but I'll skip it for now. But
I was like,
I'm going to make a, you want to, do you want me to, I'll just keep talking. Okay.
Yeah, so, keep talking. That's what we're here
okay.
for.
Yeah. Okay. So music came about because I was going to Coachella the year after Gaga. I went to Gaga's year, but I think it was the year after when it was actually Beyonce's year. And I was like, I'm going to make these tour t-shirts, like these fake tour t-shirts that just have like a photo from my Instagram that I'm going to like really edit and make it look really cool and weird. And like on the back of the shirt, I'm going to put like the A Bear Named Troy tour, the Thigh Highs Before Guys tour. And on the back, I would list all the cities I've ever lived in, which is far too many. It's like 9 different cities. And I made that shirt. Then I was like, well, what if I like drop a surprise single on Saturday? It would be so funny. And so then that idea kind of got really rolled with. And I hit up a friend of mine who's a producer. And I was like, hey, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm thinking. I want it to be really kitschy and fun and like not too serious. Like, I don't want anyone to think that I'm trying to be Beyonce or like Taylor Swift or anyone. So I was like, I just want to make a fun song that I can like release at Coachella. Like, I don't know. And he's like, well, it's Monday and Coachella's on Saturday. So no, we can't do that. I'm like, why? And he's like, it takes more than 4 days to make a song. And I'm like, really? And turns out it really does. So but that's how music was born. So I still went through and made the song with him and I released it and it was really fun and it was really well received. And it was just kind of like cracked the little door open on really tapping into this like serious love I have. And so I made more music as A Bear Named Troy, but because of the way that A Bear Named Troy was designed and like my brand identity and like the music I was making, it was all just a little bit like, I wasn't allowed to get too serious. I felt I wasn't allowed to get too serious. And I couldn't talk about, like, anytime I talked about anything political, people would be like, oh, can't you go back to being just like a cuddly bear? Like, I don't want you to talk about politics or like, and I'm like, is that really what you just think of me? Is like, I don't have any opinion or I'm not allowed to. And like, you know, as at the same time, I'm learning about all the things, you know, all my intersectionality of like being, you know, being a white man, but understanding that I'm queer and I don't fully identify with the, you know, male or a he. It's like, I'm just figuring all this shit out. So I'm trying to express it in real time. And everyone's kind of being like, don't just like post cute photos and wear cute outfits. And I was like, oh, it doesn't sit right with me. And so over time I was like, this doesn't feel right. A Bear Named Troy is limiting me. It's keeping me back from like making the kind of music I want to make, from sharing the thoughts I have politically and socially and racially and all, you know, all these different things. So I was like, I need a change. And so that's where Lord Troy was born. Born in July of last year.
Do you feel like, you mentioned how A Bear Named Troy was kind of limiting. Do you feel like those kind of tribes in the gay community of bear and twink and all of those, do you find those limiting at all? I feel like maybe yes. They kind of reduce authenticity because people try to fit into them so much. So I just want to get your thoughts.
100%. Yeah, I think sort of blanket statement, anytime we try to compartmentalize someone or something, it can serve as a, you know, a hindrance. Like, I think it's good in the beginning because we're trying to find our community and we're trying to find, like, it worked really well for me. I needed it. Like, I needed to find that there was a community of people that were, you know, looked like me, were, you know, happy to look like me, were celebrating themselves, were attracted to people that look like me. I think I needed that. But, you know, as I'm old, getting older and wiser, and just my eyes are more open and my ears are more open, I see so much of the negative that comes with kind of like compartmentalizing these communities. And I think really what ends up happening more and what I've seen more is like the everyone else's opinions depicting and dictating what a bear gets to look like or what like a twink gets to look like. I think it becomes this thing where it's like people who fall into the category think that they're claiming it, but then everyone else, you know, it's like we had this happen like 2 years ago or a year or two ago where everyone was all of a sudden like saying that they had like dad bod or they were thick. And I'm like, but you're not. Like, so I think it becomes a thing where we start to sort of like misuse, I think, certain terms. And so it's funny, I have a lot of people ask me like, well, I'm a woman, can I be a bear? And I'm like, I guess. Like, if you, I don't know, it's tough because I never want to tell someone they can't identify with the community if they identify with it. But it upsets me when I see people misidentify or misuse it to benefit their own. So it's like, you know, I see like thin men with like big butts saying that they're thick. And I'm like, but that's not what, like, first of all, the term thick is just a whole other thing to talk about. So it's just like, I don't know. I think there just needs to be a little bit more introspection and like conversation around these categories and these like genres and communities and how they affect like the overall placement of everybody in like, even in mainstream, like, you know, when you watch Drag Race or you go to DragCon, like, you know, just the way that people of different body types are treated for better, for worse. I think there's just a whole conversation about it that like gets looked over because people think, oh, bears have bears, twinks have twinks, muscle jocks have muscle jocks. No one should like, no one should mingle. And if you do mingle, that's because you got a fetish. Or if you do mingle, it's because, you know, you just, it just becomes a little bit like complicated, as with everything. So.
And I think for me, at least when I think of all these terms and whatnot, is like, they're so restrictive in their definitions that it also just feels like no one really lines up perfectly with like any of these things either. So it feels like there's no room for anyone to just kind of exist in their own.
Exactly. I think it's cool that we're, a lot of queer people are starting to see that. And I think that's, it's funny. Every time I use the word queer on social media, there's one person who doesn't follow me, but checks all my content all the time. And they'll always comment and say like, queer is a bad word. Queer is a bad word. Stop using queer. Queer is a bad word. And I'm always like, you are not, you don't understand. Like you just need to be educated. But I like the word queer because I think queer allows for what you're just saying, where it's like, we can all find community without having to find a way to fit into a box. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I like the term. Cause like I was saying before, like I, my pronouns are he, they, because identifying as he like doesn't 100% sit right with me, but I would never want to take away from someone's experience who clearly knows that they don't identify with their pronouns. So that's why I'm like, I feel more comfortable with he and they, because I'm okay if you call me he, I'm okay if you call me they, I'm okay if you call me she, I'm okay if you call me queen. I don't really care what you call me, but I know it matters to some people. So I never want to take that importance and experience away from somebody, but that's why I like using queer, because it's like, we can all then be connected, even though we all have like such subtle and not so subtle sometimes like nuances and differences, but we can still in a way feel connected. And I like that. I want to feel that connection and not feel so like stuck to one thing or stuck to one category or like be labeled as something for like the rest of my life. That's like, I like refute that. I like very much.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I agree. I feel like I've never, I mean, I'm not really in the dating scene anymore, but I feel like I never fit like on Grindr, never fit into like any of the categories perfectly. Like I was always too hairy to be a twink or too, you know, or too small to be a bear or, you know what I mean? Like I never, there was nowhere. So it kind of just leaves you feeling like shit when you don't fit into any of these labels and people want you to label yourself. You know what I mean? So I had a question because you mentioned people thinking queer is a bad word. And I want to talk about kind of the body positivity movement in general, but that just reminded me of how the word fat is kind of being reclaimed a bit by a lot of body positive people. I wanted to know your opinions on whether you think we should use the word fat, people should use the word fat for themselves, why it's important to reclaim it, or
totally. I mean, I guess to preface everything, it's all about intention. So I think like I use the word fat, but my intention is that it doesn't mean anything other than what it is. And same thing with skinny. I don't think skinny is a positive or negative. It's just like what someone might be, or you know, how you might describe someone's physical appearance. Yeah, the body positivity community at large is so also complicated. And there are pockets within the community, the same way as any other community, of people who think fat is good, think fat, like the word fat is good, the word fat is bad, who think, you know, who think that, you know, white women who monopolize off of the body positivity movement. And I say white women because it's the majority of the community. You know, they'll monopolize off the movement, but they aren't actually body positive, or don't know the roots of body positivity or where it started, who started it. And then they don't do the work to find out who started it. There's some people who believe that body positivity is wrong and we should be body neutral. There's people who believe that body positivity was born out of fat positivity. There's so many layers to it. For me personally, fat is a great word. It's just a word. Like, I don't know. I don't think of it any other way. I do understand that like when I use it, it probably sends like a little ping to people like in their chest of like, oh, he just said fat, because we're trained to think that fat is like a bad word, because you call someone like a fat bitch, or you call someone, you know, you insult someone when we're younger. We go straight to like, oh, well, guess what, fatty, like you go straight to that. So I get that the word is triggering for people. I guess my intention is to always try and destigmatize that trigger, because, or I shouldn't say destigmatize, I should also say separate the trigger from the word. So it's like, you know, you can be triggered by it, but let's talk about what triggered you, not, and realize it's not the word, it's what the person meant. They're really trying to hurt you, and they weaponized your body against you. Mm-hmm. And that's like the really, that's like the nitty gritty of it. So that's why, I mean, I don't mind the word fat, but some people do. Some people don't like plus size. Some people, because people believe, you know, well, why does it have to be plus size? Because, and why do we call it plus size and straight size? Like, it's like people are going to have an issue or not an issue with like all these different terms. And I think same thing with queer, and same thing with, you know, all the different terms we have in the gay community or the queer community. It's like, because yeah, I could say queer community, but people might be like, it's the LGBTQIA plus community. Like, why, you know, yeah. Or
yeah,
someone might say, well, why aren't you extending past the plus? It's like, there's, so I understand, I respect everybody's, you know, what they prefer or like what they want to be said. It's just, I also believe that like, if I want to say fat and it triggers you, let's talk about it, not like be mad at me because I use the word fat. Or if I say queer, let's talk about it and don't be mad because I use the word queer, because it, there might be something that can be learned on both sides. So,
yeah, I think I remember the first time I heard or read fat used in a positive way, and it did send a little like pinch to my heart. Yeah. Because I grew up the biggest kid in my family, and I remember my brother, I'm going to call him out right now, used to use fat as his go-to insult to, like, when he was mad at me. And right. For years and years and years and years, I hated my body. So I think I'm now becoming more open to it being used in a positive way. Like, I know, like, I think, like you said, intention is so important, but it's still hard when it's been like years of that being ingrained in your brain that that word is bad.
Oh yeah. So. I think it also helps, like, I don't know where you're at in like your self-love body journey.
We got some work to do.
And I'm here to help if I can be of any help. Like, I think that, you know, I was just talking about this yesterday with someone too. It's like, in a lot of ways, it's also getting out of our own way when it comes to our body acceptance and like our self-love. And I think, unfortunately, we are trained to taught to not fully love ourselves because we need to buy a product, right? So we're told like, oh, like your acne scars gotta go. Buy this product. It'll get rid of your acne scars. Yeah. So it's like telling our brain like, oh, I can't, how can I fully love myself when I have these acne scars? Or, you know, same thing with being fat. So it's I think like, it's so much unprogramming, and it's so much like radically realizing that like everything in this world revolves around money, and it's trying, mm-hmm. and it's just someone trying to get your money that helped me in a lot of ways, like get out of my own way of like, oh, okay. Like, who decided that being fat was ugly? Mm-hmm. Diet companies? Like, I don't know. Like, who decided it? Like, so it's, you know, and I think that's the thing about like the whole thing in general. It's like, I always just wanted to tell people, like, I understand there's semantics to it and there's specifics and there's words, but at the same time, it's like, I kind of want everyone just to kind of like forget that for a second. Just remember, this comes down to like learning how to love yourself and learning how to accept yourself and not limiting yourself based off the pressures of like everyone else and everything else that's around you in the world. Because like, if you're a bigger person, you're reminded every single day that you're a bigger person, whether someone says it to you or you go to like sit on a seat on the bus or you go on an airplane, or, you know, it's like we're constantly reminded that we're bigger because the world is built for smaller people. So I think once we get out of our own way and get out of the weeds of the semantics and the words that we're using sometimes, I mean, granted, I don't want people to use like violent words, but like just some of those words, like if we get out of those weeds, we could get to the real goal, which is like, let's just like love ourselves and accept ourselves and each other and world peace.
Yes, I totally feel that. I mean, I guess on that topic of just like the commercialization and the money that's spent marketing to people in order to make them feel a certain way about their body, That's definitely becoming more of like a cognizant point for people. Like people are becoming more aware of that. And I think a lot of that has been driven on social media. And since you got in so early on Instagram and you really kind of have picked up the nuances of that, I'm kind of curious, how have you seen it change from your perspective?
It's a great question. Social media. Like I have seen, I mean, we've seen great, like, I think we've seen a lot of change when it comes to calling out diet culture and calling out, you know, hurtful, fatphobic language. Like, we've seen the change. We've seen people more educated, you know, incredibly with the rise of Lizzo. Like, we saw so many more people now understand what it means to be fatphobic and how, you know, when you're a skinny person or a thinner person, you're talking about how fat you feel in front of your fat friend, it creates a really negative interaction. So I think it's important. I think it's great. And social media has helped drive that conversation. And it's obviously helped us call out things like flat tummy tea and like these detox teas for just being like weight loss supplements for young kids. It's like, I think, you know, it's gotten so good where, you know, the internet's helped everyone mobilize to like call that shit out and be like, we don't fucks with you. Can I curse on your show? I don't know if I can curse.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you can do whatever you want on the show.
Okay, good. But yeah, so it's like, it's helped everyone be like, we don't fuck with you and be like, no. I think what has unfortunately happened is diet companies have really, really good and expensive marketing teams that have learned how to now rework their shit and market it towards people who think they're being body positive, but can't read between the lines. So it's like, you know, we see those commercials all the time for Noom, which is like a diet company that's telling you you can lose weight, but it's just, you know, it's always, it always frames it around this idea of like, it's not about restriction. It's just about a mindset. It's about changing the way you think. And, but it's still diet. It's still diet culture. And here's the thing. And this is where it just gets so complicated because for some people, I do believe that certain dietary restrictions or dietary needs need to be met. Like, you know, diabetics can't have certain types of food because it will literally kill them or, you know, it'll harm them. So we have to be able to cater to them because everyone should be able to eat food, but at the same time, not trigger and like encourage young people or impressionable people or any person really that they need to be thinner. So it's like all about word use and, you know, companies, diet companies are getting better at their word use in finding ways to get you to buy into their product without making you feel like it's just about weight loss, even though they always talk about weight loss. Totally. So it's like, you know, it like we've seen it. I mean, but the same thing is social media also ruins a lot of shit. Like it makes things a lot worse for people.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen lots of people co-opt body positivity and use it in terms of talking about being like a fitness instructor and like, you know, they can get you to your perfect positive body. Like we've seen people use the term and the entire movement as a way to make money, which that's how everything goes. We're used to, you know, that's we're used to, especially as queer people, we're used to that. That happens every pride. So it's like, it happens all the time. I think what's good is that more and more people are opening up to like, you know, I think when we started seeing the topic of body shaming and fat phobia happen now on like TV shows and movies, we know that things are moving in the right way. And we've started to see that, which is great. But it still happens. I mean, I posted a video on TikTok that was just me dancing in my underwear. And when I tell you the comments that I got, because TikTok is both beautiful and also vicious. It's still, I mean, so fat phobia, not to mention that post was like fat phobic, transphobic, homophobic. It was just like, I mean, it was across the board. Anyone something. So, but it just showed. So this is actually a better example. Will Smith recently posted a photo. You guys may have seen it where he was like just in his shirt or no shirt on and like some pants, whatever. And was like, to be honest, I'm in the worst shape of my life. And I opened up that conversation to my followers because I was like, how do we feel about the phrase worst shape of my life, best shape of my life, in shape, out of shape? You know, how do we feel about that? And looking at his comments, I was like, he may have meant something, but his audience and the people who follow him, people who comment on his stuff, clearly know what they feel. And they are all saying, like, it's okay, legend. Like, you're allowed to take a break. Like, it's okay if you gain some weight. Like, or people being like, you know, which is nice. It's okay if people are like, you know, it's okay if you gained weight. Some people are saying, oh my God, no, like, let me give you personal training. Like, no legend should look like, no legend should have this type of a body. Like, so it just, it shows, like, this year alone and what people have reacted to in terms of their own weight gain or other people's weight gain shows that it's like everyone's getting a pass from their COVID weight gain. Mm-hmm. But is it just a pass, or are we, is it actually evolving into general acceptance that anybody can have whatever body they want or have, you know, like, so it's just, it this year has changed a lot for the body positivity, like, progress in terms of that alone. Just like, is it progress? Is it temporary? Like, you know, where was the forgiveness of fat bodies before COVID? You know, where was that? You know, and did everybody feel, you know, people who are commenting, like, did they feel that before they saw Will Smith be like, I'm a little pudgy? Like, it's just, and then some people argue that the out of shape phrase is like not, and it was like born out of fat phobia, but it now is used so diversely that, like, you can't make the argument. And I'm like, but he was using it as a way to describe his body not being, like, fit and tight and muscular, which to me says that the opposite of that is large and flabby and not muscular, which is what he's saying he doesn't want to be. He's implying he doesn't, you know, he's never wanted to be that. Mm-hmm. So it's just, to answer your question, I have no idea how to answer it.
I mean, I think you bring up some really important nuance that I think is definitely lacking when you, when people try to have very quick discussions about, you know, how we think about bodies, our own bodies and other people's bodies. Right. But I do also agree. I think, you know, Instagram has definitely made it, I think, a lot better and also a lot worse. So I think there's, like, two sides to that. And I am also curious, you know, like, how do you want it to, how do you want it to change going forward? Like, what do you want to see happen more?
Like, with Instagram and social media, or just with body positivity in general?
I mean, I guess with social media and in general.
I have such a hard time with social. So I'm sure you guys have seen on social media right now what's going on in Israel and Palestine.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk about it at all, but it's just between that and, you know, I think what's unfortunately happened with social media is it's, well, I shouldn't say unfortunately, but what has happened is it's become this weird, this really weird place of both entertainment, like entertainment, tutorial, and also now activism. And so the hard part, so it's conflicting even for me, because at my core, I just want to entertain people. I want people to listen to my music, connect with it, be entertained by it. I want people to watch my videos, my music videos, be entertained. I just want to offer people art and entertain them. But I also have, like, very strong feelings about different, you know, different activism related topics. So I even personally have a hard time balancing, when do I share my music? When do I share my art? When do I share that? When do I share half naked photos of myself? When do I share things about, like, Black Lives Matter, or, you know, this conflict in Israel and Palestine? Like, when do I share these types of things? So lately, truthfully, I've really pulled back from social media, or at least from Instagram, because I'm still trying to figure that out. Mm-hmm. And I think that is, I would like to see that somehow change across the board, whatever topic we're talking about. I think a lot of users on Instagram have gotten to this place of, like, if you're not using your platform to talk about the important, you know, life and death situations of the world, then you're not using your platform correctly. Granted, I kind of agree. Like, I do kind of agree that, like, we need to be, if you have a platform, if you have followers, you kind of have a responsibility now and a privilege to, because of that privilege, to speak about things. Yeah. Do you need to necessarily give opinions on things? No. I think that you can just be sharing and you can share resources. And I always say, like, you know, would I like to see a full thought from someone that I follow that has a large platform? sure. But at the same time, I don't want them to give a full thought if they don't know the full situation. Yeah. So I've reprogrammed myself since like the Black Lives Matter movement of, you know, the spike of it last summer to understanding like, okay, I can't require every person I follow or every person I'm friends with who has a following to like have something to say from their heart about it. But I can appreciate when they share about it because I think it is important to be sharing about it. Mm-hmm. But with like this specific topic of Israel and Palestine, we are seeing so much misinformation and so many things that are being shared that are just incredibly damaging, incredibly anti-Semitic. Like there's just so many things. So I want to see that change where people go from, you know, oh, we have to activate, and we have to activate right now. And we have to say what we have to say. We have to share this infographic. I'm going to make a really cute, like really aesthetically pleasing infographic and it'll get shared. Because I always wonder like, did you want to share the information or do you just want to have your product, your post shared? Yeah. Cause to me, it's like when we were in the thick of Black Lives Matter, I remember being like, I just want to share what I think. And like, so that's why it's funny that I'm saying like, we have to be careful. I don't know. It's also confusing. Mm-hmm. But I don't like these infographics because some of them are just out to be like pretty. And some of them are out to actually give you the information you need. So I guess it's not a social media thing. It's more a people thing that I wish and hope that we can all move towards, like not just reacting to reading, learning, obviously always siding with this, you know, the people who are being oppressed and with the people who are being killed and the injustices, but still taking the time to fucking like read more and like not just believe an infographic that's telling you the one side is the evil side. Like, I think it's unfair for everything, you know, it's unfair. So it's like, I guess I just want to see us change in terms of how we use social media. Cause it's just become too, it's like, it's just too extreme. I mean, it's been this way for years, but it's just so extreme. And I'm like, can we just give someone a beat to like learn?
Yeah,
like that's what I've just been doing for the last like week is just, or like, I guess like 3 or 4 days, just learning about what's happening in the Middle East and not like posting right away about it. But I also felt this insane pressure to post about it. And I also felt insane pressure because the posts being shared about it are wrong and, you know, really damaging. And like, as someone who's Jewish, I'm like, that's the other nuance of it that I know we can relate to in the queer community as well. It's like, when we're talking about things that don't, that go against our culture or our community, I fully believe that, you know, no one should be killed or evicted from their homes in Palestine occupied areas. But it's also so confusing because I'm Jewish and I'm always taught that Israel is like, sorry, I didn't want to talk about this, but I'm always taught that like that's where we can always call home. Yeah. And it's just, so it's, I think it just takes, we just all need to take a beat to like understand people's perspectives and the nuances and read the history and learn when it comes to this, when it comes to body positivity, when it comes to queer spaces. Like, it's just, we need to spend more time learning and less time just reacting and posting.
Yeah.
And also, we need to spend time reading the room. Because like, sometimes people are be like, it's like, we're talking about like someone being killed in the streets and people are like, here's my outfit of the day. It's like, what? Like, you got to read the room. It's like, this is not the time. So
Yeah, and I think especially when it comes to those like infographics, you know, I've seen some, and it's like the title will be like 7 ways to know that someone is committing war crimes, and it's like covered in flowers and stuff, and I'm like, okay, whoa.
Also, it's like, could you imagine if we could literally boil it down to 7 ways someone's committing war crimes? Like, and I've seen what you're talking about. It's like the 7 things happening, right? It's like, Could you imagine taking any other issue we're dealing with? If you try to talk about Black Lives Matter and boil it down to the 7 issues, could you even, like, there's no fucking way, you can't. Yeah. So it's like so interesting. And then I think that's why this specific conflict is triggering for me. Cause I'm like, you guys, none of you even talked about anti-Semitism last week. No one posted about this before what we're seeing right now is happening. None of you talked about the struggles in Palestine before this week. So all of a sudden now, because you've seen 3 infographics with flowers on them, you are like, I stand with this thing and I believe in this and I think this. And I, so it's just like, that's why I'm like, you can, if after all you've done, all the research you've done still leads you to your outcome, great. Mm-hmm. But just because you read an infographic that says the 7 ways war crimes are being committed doesn't make you now someone who understands what's really happening in a place that's thousands of miles away from you. So
yeah,
you have to do the work. Totally. For sure.
Absolutely.
100%.
I just realized we've talked a lot about body positivity, but we never really talked about how you came to be so comfortable in your own skin. Like, has that always been like that? Has it been a big journey? Like, I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, it is a big journey. I love that. No, it's definitely not always been like that. Yeah,
yeah, that literally. Was intentional. That was intentional.
Yeah. I'll give it to you. No, it definitely was not always like this. You know, I experienced a lot of fat phobia when I was a kid. I was fat phobic myself. I was afraid of my own body. Like, you know, I think if you're a fat kid and you don't like walk up to your mom at some point being like, just cut it off with a knife, like holding your stomach, you like weren't a fat kid. Like, I think that's like a very common thing we feel as like fat kids. So I've always had an issue with it when I was younger. And the crazier part was like, I would obviously get this teasing from, you know, whatever kids at school. Like, I mean, the truth is I will never be like, I was bullied. I wasn't, I was never bullied for my body or for anything really. It's just kids still say things about each other. Like it's not like, I don't look at it. Like, I think it's more microaggressions. Like when I was a kid, it's like, you know, oh, well he's fat though. It's like those kind of things, not being like, you're a fat pig. It's like, I never got that, but I did get more aggressive body related things from the adults in my life, which is the harder part to reconcile because they're supposed to be in my corner telling me to tell the kids at school to shut the fuck up. So, you know, when I'm getting, you know, these kind of comments from my family or from the adults who are like telling me, you know, like I remember when I was, I guess, 13 or 14, my at the time stepmom, who's no longer my stepmom, thank God. But she, you know, I give her some breathing room because I don't think she knew better. But she was really hell-bent on offering me structure and control. And like, because I'm from a very chaotic home. Like my mom dealt with substance abuse. My dad was like not around all the time. Like, so it's just very much that situation. So my stepmom, I think, was trying her best to give me structure, but what she didn't realize she was doing was creating like extreme fat phobia environment, fat phobic environment. So she would like limit what I could eat. She would tell me I had to stop eating by a certain time while my step siblings could eat whatever they want, eat whenever they want. You know, there would be food hidden from me. So I had like a really, so it would, which would trigger me. If you guys couldn't tell, when someone tells me I can't do something or can't have something, I am like, you better fucking believe I'm going to. So I would then, you know, sneak food or hide it, or I would fight with her. It would create a really toxic environment. And that's when I'm 13. So I've definitely experienced, you know, there's been times where I've gone on family vacations and, you know, the adults want to go on a hike and I'm fatter and slower. So they tell me to stay back because they don't want to be held back by me. Like literally the words, we don't want to be slowed down by you. So yeah, I mean, I've definitely experienced it, and that definitely got in my head and made me feel completely valueless and, you know, not worthy of anything. I think what changed was coming out. Like, I think literally coming out was the first like step of it, because but prior to that, like I had been with like maybe 2 or 3 guys like before I came out. And that was really, I should actually say that's where it started, because they were the type of body types I just never thought would be, well, I guess I just never thought anybody would be into my body type, but I just, they surprised me looking back on it. So I think that was like maybe not everyone in the world who isn't fat doesn't think fat people are disgusting. Like, I think it started the wheels turning. And then when I came out, that's when, like I said, like everything felt free and my secrets were gone. And that's when I started learning about the bear community. I think because of the bear community, because of people who are attracted to people who look like bear, you know, who are of the bear community. I think that's where it, I hate to say that it was because people found me attractive that I learned to love myself, but I don't look at it like that black and white. To me, it's like what I just said, how it's like, it made the wheels in my head turn of like, oh, not everyone in the world thinks fat people are disgusting the way I have thought that that's what it was like before. Mm-hmm. So in a lot of ways, the validation and the, you know, attraction from other people helped me understand that like, I'm just used to a very closed-minded, smaller fraction of what my world can be. Granted, fat phobia is still like, I would say in a lot of ways, the majority. Mm-hmm. Just because we've seen a change of it in our country doesn't mean it's any different anywhere else. But that's kind of where my journey started, was where like the undoing, I should call it the undoing, because it was like people were helping me understand that like not everyone thought my body type was disgusting. And in fact, some people thought it was like the second they've ever seen. So it was a really cool lesson for me, and a really cool like understanding. And so from there, I think I just started to realize like, oh, everything I know about my body or think about my body was taught to me. How can I like unlearn this? Because I'm so tired of feeling like I need to be better, in air quotes. Like I feel be better because I feel like I'm great. I feel like I am great the way I am. And the way I am should not dictate if I am great. Like it just shouldn't. So yeah. I think it started the whole process. And then from there, it was like, for me, it boiled down to like radical. It was very radical. I hate this like buzzword radical self-love, but it was that, because I literally said, from this day on, you can no longer let anything affect how much you love yourself. You just can't. Like it just, I said it to myself, and like part of my personality is very like all or nothing. And I think that's a part of me where it falls into the all or nothing category of like, you decided today and that's not going to change. You can't let that change. Don't let anybody make you feel like it has to change. And literally the moment things start to feel a little iffy for you in that front, smack that shit away. Like this is your lifestyle now, is like, you love yourself and that's not changing. Granted, will my body change? Will I gain weight? Will I lose weight? Will I have hair? Will I lose my hair? Will I shave my head? All these things will change. But the whole point of it is for me to not let any of those things dictate if I love myself or not. And I think that was what, because of that self, that radical self-love, it brought me to a place of like body positivity and body acceptance. So it's very like layered, lots of levels to it. But for I think sure. Everyone's different. I'm sure your journey is very different. It's like every journey is so different in how you get to that place. But I know everyone can. Like there's no reason why everyone can't. It's just getting there.
Because it is so layered, I would imagine that kind of has different impacts on other parts of your life. So like, I am curious, you know, like how has that journey affected the other relationships you have with people or the other relationships you have with other parts of yourself? Like, I think you were talking about how, you know, coming out or like engaging with your queer identity helped you see people who kind of introduce you to this idea of body positivity. But I am also curious, like, how does it affect you accepting your queer identity?
Totally. And they I would say originally, and even still now, in some ways, they are directly linked to each other. Like, I think starting when I first came out, my body positivity and my body was so, that was what I considered my queer identity. It was like, being fat, being body positive, being a bear, like those were just like, they all mashed together. And that's how I understood my identity within the space was. It was all dictated by my body and by the acceptance of my body. I think now it's become more of my mission, for lack of a better word, is to like, and infiltrate, for lack of a better word, infiltrate like all the different spaces with my body, with someone who has my body. Because I think it's important that we see, you know, I love Ryan Murphy programming, but I would love to see someone who looks like me be the, you know, the leading male character in an AHS franchise who fucks, who parties, who does bad things, who does good things. I want to see that, because I think Ryan Murphy's great at giving queer people a platform, but I would love to see body representation. But it's not even just him, it's everyone. I want to see me and people who look like me and people who look different than me everywhere. So, but it, because my queer identity is so close to me, that's probably why I'm like, that's where I think a lot about. Like, I think a lot about DragCon. I don't know if you guys have ever been to DragCon, but the times I've gone, I love it because I love the community. I love all the fans of drag. I love when I get to meet people who are fans of mine. Like, that's really fun. But the part that makes me sad is that I only ever see the same body type when it comes to any of the dancers, any of the models that are posing with the queens. Like, it's just the same pit crew body mm-hmm. type.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I'm like, okay, well, then that just means that there's an opening for me to fit in somewhere and start to show that there's space for other people within this community. And we need to show that, because it needs to not just be this like fetish or just this community of this small community within a larger landscape. It needs to be, we should all be together. Like, it sounds so yeah. quote unquote gay, but like, we all need to be together. Like, we truly need to look at each other like we are all the same community. And this idea that one is greater than the other is something that I think about a lot, because when you talk about the gay community specifically, you're talking about, for, you know, generalization, men, which mm-hmm. the gay community is not lacking anything in the department of toxic men. So it's the same way we talk about toxic men when it comes to women and, you know, anything political, all these things. You know, the gay community is made up of a lot of toxic men.
Yeah.
So it's constantly, you know, and that's another big like passion of mine is like toxic masculinity, because it's like, I believe that toxic masculinity is the root of all evil, like truly is the core of everything evil we have in this world, is because yeah. of that. So yeah. that's now kind of where I've understood now and accept and agree that my body, regardless of what I do with it, if I'm showing, it's politicized, it is political now. But now I'm trying to use it more in a way of like, where can I be slid into that will then show a representation in the queer community within spaces that don't normally see my body type? So hence music, hence that I would love to be on TV shows and movies. And, you know, I love I think entertainment is the fucking portal to like so much understanding and acceptance. You know, it was a big key, like a big component for me coming out. Like, I think I was watching, it was Ryan Murphy's show, The New Normal. And it was a segment, it was the opening scene where Randall, or what's his name? I don't remember, I'm making up names now, but the one character was like, I always envision like growing old with a wife and kids and playing catch with my son in the front yard. And my wife brings out a tray of lemonade for us. And we have this beautiful afternoon. And then he goes, and then I realized I want that same exact thing, but I want it with a man. And then they show the entire scene over again, but it's with a man. And I'm 21. And I'm like, that's it. Like, that was just the light bulb for me. So I think that entertainment and media, and when I say media, I don't even want to talk about news media, but like, I just mean like movies and TV and film and music. It has such a power to like really open people's eyes and like create a sense of acceptance that like, that's why I'm like, if I can put myself in those positions, then I'm using the spaces that I belong to, or I'm a part of, the way that they should be used, which is to create change. So it's a very long-winded answer for what you asked.
I mean, that's also, I think like we talked about the bad parts of social media, but the good parts of social media are people totally. Like you who are mm-hmm. who are showing all the different bodies, and that they should all be yeah. valued. I think that's a really nice thing for young people to see.
Yeah,
totally. That's what makes me I think when I look at like my analytics and I see like the age brackets that follow me, I always get so excited when I see like a strong, I have more millennials, but I see a strong like Gen Z category too. And I just get so happy because I'm like, they're the ones who are going to like continue this. And they're the ones who are going to not look at this like it's a thing in the yeah. best way. So I think it's like, I'm really grateful to social media. That's why it's such a like double-edged sword, because I'm so grateful. Really? Or is it a catch 22? I don't know, whatever phrase, but I'm like grateful to it, because I mean, I have people who still comment, you know, being like, where do you find your clothes? And then I'll respond with like the brand that I got them from, which is almost always this brand called Eloquy. And they're always like, oh, but they're for women. And I'm like, are they? Like, they're just clothes. So, yeah. But even just that little tiny thing and that interaction then can change that person's entire life. And then that then changes how they think about gender roles. So it's just like, yeah, I'm so grateful for social media, and I'm very, like, very, very privileged and lucky to like have it as a tool to like continue the conversation and the change. But yeah, I just am always trying to use it responsibly, and I want everyone to do the same thing.
Well, we'd also would just love to ask you, you know, about your new song. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about it, where the inspo came from and where people can check it out?
Yeah. So my new song, On My Pillow, is my little baby. So you can listen to it everywhere. You listen on Spotify, Apple, wherever music is streamed. But to tell you about the song itself is just so cute, because so like I was telling you guys before, like I've gone through a lot of transitions when it comes to my sound and my music and what I want to say. And, you know, prior to On My Pillow, I released a song called Me and My Anxiety, which was like the first song that I feel was like, this is real. Like, this is real shit about me. Cause it's like, I have a lot of anxiety, and I think most people do. So, that was, you know, a good leeway into like this new era of like me just being really honest in my songs. And so On My Pillow was made for my husband, but it was just cool because I've never written a love song like that before. Like I always wanted to express my love for him, and I wanted to express what he means to me and like the nuances of our relationship. And that's where it came from. So the song is really about that feeling of like, when someone stays over for the first time and you're like, I want you to stay forever. Like, I want you to stay on my pillow forever. And so that's like the, you know, the base layer of like what the song is. It's just this like really great feeling of like, you have proven that this is possible, and I want you to stay here, and I want you to sleep in this bed forever. But what's been really cool about the song release is I've had a chance to like have more public conversations with my husband, like on social media, on Instagram, with my audience, where they're allowed, you know, I've opened up the floodgates for them to ask whatever questions they want. And I think that's the really cool part about this, because, you know, I've always been very open about our relationship. I'm pointing over there because he's technically through that door. So you keep pointing. But I've always been very open about the fact that we have always been in an open relationship. And people are like, well, what does that mean? Like, aren't you afraid to fall in love with someone else? And blah, blah, blah. And so it's been really cool to release this song, talk about my love, but also in turn have a conversation surrounding like different types of relationships and what that can look like for somebody. And I know, as you know, gay people, queer people, that's not the most foreign concept of is an open relationship. Mm-hmm. But for my followers, who I would say now are majority like straight, you know, this is a pretty like interesting topic for them. So I think it's amazing, and it's a really good depiction of where I'm heading musically. I actually just got two songs back today that will be released soon that are heading in a really cool, I'm kind of heading in this like alt country pop Americana vibe. So On My Pillow was a really good like first song introduction into that sound. It's very dreamy, and you kind of feel like you're just like looking up at the stars, like in the desert, just like, I don't know, cuddling. It's like very cute. So I'm very proud of that song.
Nice. And where else can everyone keep up with you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Lord Troy. You can find me on Twitter at Lord Troy Music. And I'm on TikTok as well at Lord Troy Music as well. So.
Awesome.
Really.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. This is
already. I'm so sad.
Well, you're welcome back anytime.
Yeah, let me know. No, this is amazing. Thank you guys for having me and like holding space for this type of conversation, because it's great. It's a great conversation to be having, especially in our communities. So
absolutely. Awesome.
Thank you, Lord Troy, for being here. We will have all of his social links and the link to his new single on my pillow in the description of this episode.
Yes, go check it out, everyone. It's great.
And now, song of the week. What's your song?
Claws by Charlie XCX.
Great song.
Love that song.
From honestly, her quarantine album.
Yeah, good album, but that song is a standout for me.
Yeah, Anthems is a standout too.
Anthems is like...
Yeah, and it's just like how I feel about COVID and just like...
Yeah, Claws is fun. Claws is like fun, flirty, fruity, fresh.
Woohoo!
Just like this podcast. Fun, flirty, fruity, fresh.
My song is one I just discovered yesterday, and I might say their name wrong, but they're known as MJ Rodriguez in the acting world, but now... They're on Pose, but now all of my songs of the week coming from Pose. But anyways, now they're branching into music under Michaela J.
Oh.
Which obviously is the MJ and MJ Rodriguez, if you didn't connect those dots.
That was a really hard line to follow.
Do you think that's how you say it? Like, it has an accent on the E.
Oh, yeah. Michaela J.
Okay. It's called Something to Say, and it's so fun.
That's good.
So. It's so fun, and it's definitely my song of the week.
Did you see Darren Criss is his name, from Glee?
Yeah,
he came out with like some stupid fucking pop song, and he's like walking around like trying to be
I'm not gonna include you vibe. Insulting Darren Criss. He could be a possible guest.
He's heterosexual. He's a big queer baiter.
Maybe we could have him on to
for a queer baiting
interrogate
episode.
Him. Don't listen to this, Darren.
He did say he was going to stop playing gay characters, which is good, but I think Ryan Murphy just had a crush on him.
We'll save this for our queer rating episode. That's our show. Thank you for listening. You can find us on Instagram or Twitter at @2SiringsPod, or you can learn more about us at 2SiringsPod.com.
Yep. Check out our Pride giveaway.
Literally, we have a Pride giveaway, if you haven't noticed by all of the reminders that I am putting in these episodes.
But just at the end of the episode as well, don't forget.
Yeah, all the links for the giveaway are in the description. Mm-hmm. And please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, because it helps us a lot.
If you don't, I'm going to come to your house. I'm going to dump a huge bucket of rats from Australia, and they're going to chew through your wires and burn your house down.
You could never carry a bucket of rats.
I'll hire someone.
Perfect.
It'll be you.
How much?
Free.
$20.
I said free.
$20.
Free.
15.
Okay.
Okay, deal.
15 cents. 15 doll hairs. I'll give you 15 doll hairs.
Okay, bye everyone. Say bye.
Bye. Doll hairs means not dollars.